welcome to another episode of What's Up, Prof. Good day, Walter.
Good morning, Martin.
How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad it's well with you. If it's not well, then we have to turn to the Bible, because Lord says we can bring everything to Him.
Yes, maybe that's the only reason why things on occasion go well.
Let's open with a word of prayer that we can start our discussion. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to please help us through this discussion. It's an important discussion and it's a sensitive subject. So we ask you to please help us and enlighten our minds and the viewers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're going to talk about true and false prophets, right?
Yes.
And we're going to have a look at what some people are saying in the world. And let's just put a qualifier in there and ask a question before we start. Deception in the world, is it a very rare thing or is it commonplace?
No, it's commonplace.
And the people that are deceived, do they know that they are deceived?
No, because what's the point of deception then?
So, Martin, do you think that somebody who is deceiving, now in a spiritual sense, do you think that they are deliberate or are they themselves deceived?
No, I think they themselves are also deceived.
Okay. If there were no deception, would we not all believe exactly the same thing?
Yes, I believe we would.
How many denominations are there out there in the world?
Thousands.
Thousands. And amongst them, which one believes that he is right?
Everyone.
Okay, now in your own life, you were always on the religious wavelength. Mm. Me, I was on the atheistic wavelength. So while you were on the religious wavelength, did you always stay with one denomination or did you go hopping?
No, I went hopping.
Why did you go hopping?
Because every time I learned something new, and okay. Then I thought that was the truth.
So you thought the other one was not quite on the right wavelength and you went and found something else and then you said, well, now you're on the right wavelength. Mm-hmm. And eventually you jumped right across the wavelengths, right?
Yeah.
So that's the name of the game. Now, who is the master of deception?
Satan.
Satan himself. And he's a master. Mm-hmm. Do you think he could even deceive unfallen perfect beings?
Yes, he did.
he did, right? So how much more so
fallen
beings? Now, do people in this world have a natural affinity for truth and righteousness?
Unfortunately not.
Are you sure about that?
Yes.
How sure?
Very sure.
Okay, so there's a natural affinity for unrighteousness.
Yes.
It's called the fallen nature, right? And who can help us with that?
Only God.
Only God can. All right. But now, the Bible itself warns and says, be careful that nobody deceives you. So deception is going to be the name of the game, right?
Yes.
Now, what is the criterion as to whether you are deceived or not? Must be the word.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. All right. Here is written what we need. This is the roadmap. So when Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and probably the book of Job and a number of the Psalms. That was the roadmap for them. And God said, be careful that you do not move to the left or to the right.
Yes.
And the Israelites said, all that you say, we will do. And they kept their promise, right?
Mm.
Did they?
No.
No. And did this eventually get lost?
Yes.
And then somewhere on a dusty shelf, somewhere, they would find the book of the law and there would be great excitement. And they'd come out and say, we found the book of the law. And they would read to some of the kings And they would tear their clothes and say, "Ah, how far we have wandered from this." Isn't that correct?
Yes.
And then there'd be reform. And others would say, "Throw that scroll in the fire. Yes. I don't want to hear it," right? So this has been a war ever since time immemorial. So we can expect the same thing today. So we don't want to be hard on anybody. Now, one of the things that is very prevalent today is the notion that people are led by the Spirit because there is a manifestation. All right, so the idea then is if the manifestation is there, then that must be the Spirit. But what if you find that same manifestation in cultures that know nothing about the Bible?
Yeah.
What if across the board of religious systems in the world, even down to shamanism or Wiccanism, you find similar manifestations? Is the manifestation then a guarantee that this is truth?
No.
No.
Not at all.
So when the Reformation took place, they realized one very important principle. Sola Scriptura.
Yeah.
The Bible and the Bible alone can be your guarantee.
Yeah. The standard.
The standard. Now, does that exclude spiritual manifestations?
No.
No. And this is where it becomes tricky.
That's why you must test the spirits.
That's why you must test the spirits. Because there obviously will be a relationship with God if you have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, for example. Then this communication becomes natural. Is it possible that the devil could involve himself and try and steer you off the right path?
Definitely.
Okay, so the Bible tells us you must watch.
Yeah.
You must watch. You must be constantly vigilant. You must put on the whole armor of God. And that is your only safeguard. And if you get a message, to assume that this message is from God without verifying it in the Word of God is a very dangerous thing to do. But it happens. Mm-hmm. And so, even the elect.
Yes.
Can be deceived. That is a very serious issue. So let's not be too hard, but let's look at some of the criteria and let's make sure we understand the criteria, and then we can see whether something is in harmony with God's principles or not.
Yes.
Thanks. That's how we should approach it. Mm-hmm. So obviously, if we're going to do that, we cannot deal with the prophecies immediately. We must first see what the criteria are.
Yes, that we can study what is true and what is false.
Correct. So let's bear with each other and let's have a look what the Bible has to say. So whenever God has revealed himself to man, it was either in a dream, vision, or God veiled his glory, right? If God appeared to someone, he veiled it. Yes. When he appeared to Moses, he was in a burning bush.
Yes.
Right? Or he veiled his divinity in the form of humanity. So when God spoke to Israel from Mount Sinai, he warned them that they would die if they were to come too close. So that was an excellent display of God's glory, so much so that you had to keep your distance.
Yes.
The presence of God, although veiled in thick clouds, was so impressive that the people requested Moses to speak to them the words of God, lest they should die from the voice of God. They were scared,
yes.
Right? Even a goat or an animal that came too close, that was a problem.
And it wasn't God destroying it.
No.
It's just how glorious God is.
And he warned them.
Yeah.
And he said, make sure that your animals are safe. Keep them away. Don't you come closer. And it'll take a very special protection. But even Moses in the cloud was speaking face to face, but there was still a cloud.
Yeah.
And when he came down, he was shining.
That the people could almost not look at him.
Exactly. So he had to put a veil on his face. The prophets of old, even in vision, felt that they would die in the presence of God.
Yeah.
So here's an example. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He's undone. He's done with. And if you read through the Bible, you'll see that the judges too, when they had a communication with God, said, we're going to die. We've seen God, right? And in New Testament times, it was no different. When John saw Jesus in vision, he fell as one dead, Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. So this is a common experience. Now, do you think Satan could counterfeit that? Could someone, when he is in the presence of God, fall down?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that so? If you look at some of the church meetings, they say fire and everybody falls down. Mm-hmm. So when is it a manifestation from God and when is it a manifestation from a counterfeit experience?
We'll have to see.
So throughout the ages, God communicated his will to his servants, the prophets. And when the people heard it, they said, this is wonderful. We will do this, right?
Unfortunately not. No.
No. So anything that is immediately extremely popular must be extremely suspect.
Yes. That's the first thing you must do.
That's the first thing. Yeah.
Caution.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah.
Right? Amos 3 verse 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. You know, that's a very gratifying promise. So you're not going to grope in the dark. God is not going to say, like the deist opinion of God. Yeah. God created man. He doesn't care about him. Man continues down here. Whether he messes up or not, God is not interested. Mm. No, God is very concerned about his creation. And he will make sure that the path is known. So he will reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. And people can go and see and decide
and test
whether they want to walk that way or not. That decision still lies with man.
So this revealing to the prophets is done in the Bible, and then any revealing that's been done in the modern day has to be tested.
Has to be tested by the Bible. So we need the criteria. These prophets did not speak their own words, but revealed God's will to man. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And by the way, when some of these prophets heard what God had to say, were they all enthusiastic to give the message?
No.
No, because they knew, oh boy, this is trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another criteria.
It's not a popular message that I'm going to...
It's not going to be popular, and you could just be stoned.
Yes.
So prophets chosen by God have been used by God since the fall. Acts 3 verse 21 says, God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So God is not lax in communicating his will to man. He wants you to know. But human nature is naturally in rebellion and doesn't want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not changed.
No.
No. No. Now, the Bible tells us you mustn't despise prophecy. Despise not prophesying, 1 Thessalonians 5:20. Now, if there are so many false prophets out there, and you're not supposed to despise prophesying, mm-hmm. that means that you must go on a course of discernment.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Because do you want to be deceived?
No.
Nobody wants to be deceived. No. But the devil is such a master at it. Right? 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Now, the key word here is his.
Correct.
Believe his prophets. That means I must be sure that I'm listening to his prophet and not a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And since prophecy is so unpopular, most people will try to say that the true prophet is a false prophet.
That's it.
And you know what, Martin? That becomes the interesting criteria. When a prophet is most attacked, then it's time to go and look at that prophet.
Uh-huh.
What is that prophet saying, right?
Because all the prophets of the Bible were ridiculed.
Ridiculed.
And they were...
And poor old Isaiah was sawn in half, right?
They didn't have a very popular following.
Now, when you look at the parables of Jesus, didn't he say how it went with his prophets?
Yes.
And I sent you the prophets, and what did you do with them?
Ah.
Some of them you threw in prison. Some of them you scourged. Some of them you stoned to death. Some of them were tortured.
Yeah.
It was horrendous, right? Whilst on the other hand, there is the warning against false prophets. Matthew 24:24, therefore there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Obviously, it is possible.
Yes.
Otherwise, he wouldn't warn against it. So let's have a look at how to test whether a prophet is from God or whether he or she is not from God. There are 7 criteria which we will briefly go through. Number 1, a true prophet's message will be in complete harmony with the word of God and the law of God. Isaiah 8 verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. Now the law there is the Torah, and that is generally the portion written by Moses.
Mm.
So whatever comes thereafter has to be in harmony with what Moses wrote.
Yes.
Now Martin, people that say that you can ignore the Old Testament and only rely on the New Testament, aren't they in trouble here?
Yes.
Because it's got to be in harmony with the Torah, and that's the books that Moses wrote.
You're throwing out the first part that is the basis of testing if you're speaking according to the word.
Correct. Okay. So this is the problem. So does this portion, the book of the law, does it contain the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
Correct, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does it contain civil laws?
Yes.
Does it contain health laws?
Yes.
All of them are there, right?
All
Everything the laws. Is in the first 5. Now, some of the laws no longer apply because God said if you choose a king, then obviously the civil laws will revert to the king's authority.
Mm-hmm.
And he said you will regret it.
Yeah,
if you choose a king, because he's going to take your best men and he's going to fight his wars that he wants to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those wars might not be wars that where I am involved, and you are going to see people die like flies.
Mm.
And he'll take your choice ladies and he'll bring them into his courts, and you will basically be subjected to an authority that is not always in harmony with God.
Yes, he warned them right before they went on to that.
We're sitting with that mess to this day, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And one pharaoh says he's going to be better than the previous pharaoh, and often we are still waiting for that good pharaoh to come, right? Mm. All right, so it's got to be in harmony with the books of Moses. It's got to be in harmony with the Ten Commandments. It's got to be in harmony with everything that is written there. And if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So most modern day prophets would fail this test. Would you agree with that, Martin?
Yes.
A prophet cannot negate what God has revealed in his word, and all the precepts of the law are binding. Correct?
Yep.
Now, there are some laws in the Torah which are no longer binding. So how can we say all are binding? Well, you have the ceremonial law, and then you have the moral law, right? And you have the health laws, and laws of conduct, which are spelt out, which are in harmony with the Ten Commandments, for example. But the ceremonial law isn't actually gone.
No,
it's just been fulfilled in Christ.
Correct.
Correct. So everything still stands. Mm-hmm. So if you want to understand the ministry of Christ, for example, then you must understand the ceremonial law.
Yes. And the same with the laws when God was in the with them in a theocracy.
Yes.
Then there were certain laws that immediately if somebody did something, he must be put to death.
Yes.
That didn't change because at the end, when God Jesus comes the second time, and for eternity, those people that transgressed will eventually also not exist again.
So what you're saying is the penalty has not been removed, it's just been postponed.
Postponed.
Exactly. So if you want to understand the ministry of Christ, and you want to see, is Christ now the real Christ? Or is he a false Christ? Didn't he warn that there would be false Christ?
Yes.
Yes. So how do I determine whether this is the real one or whether this is the false one? To the law and to the testimony. So if Christ fulfills all the criteria, how many of them?
All.
The criteria of the ceremonial law, then he must be the true Christ.
Yes.
If he does not, then he must be a false Christ. So must you understand the ceremonial law?
Definitely.
Yes, not because we need to be circumcised or follow all the rituals that pointed to him.
No.
But you must understand it.
Yes.
Okay.
All of that had a spiritual application.
Correct. So this is the very, very important criterion. And the law and the testimony. This word testimony, it's very irritating to some people in the modern world. The testimony of Jesus. So the testimony of Jesus is what God has revealed to prophets other than Moses.
Yes.
That's the testimony. So if I take this Bible and I read the book of Isaiah, what am I reading?
A testimony.
If I read Jeremiah, what am I reading?
Testimony of Jesus.
Testimony of Jesus, because who gave that prophecy to Jeremiah?
Jesus.
Who gave it to?
Moses.
Moses.
Jesus.
Jesus.
And to all the prophets.
And to all the prophets. Now, if a prophet arises today, a modern day prophet, and Jesus gives him a message, then it must be in harmony with the Torah, what Moses wrote.
Yes.
And it must be in harmony with all the other prophets, because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he doesn't change.
Correct.
He's not going to change his view.
No.
Oh, I made a mistake. That didn't work, guys. Let's try something else. Let's get rid of the law, for example. Yeah. We discussed that last time.
It was too harsh. So, those people couldn't make it, so I'll rather be a little
bit. I was so mean in the Old Testament. If people didn't listen, they were destroyed. I'm going to change my tactics. Mm-hmm. No. Then you totally misunderstand the character of God. In the typologies where people were removed from society, that was mercy.
Yes.
They had reached the point of no return and their probation was closed. All that they would achieve thereafter would be to the destruction of those that remained. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the modern world and you look at how sin has become popularized and rampant,
yes,
you stand astounded. Do you think you can take that ship and just turn it around and everybody will become righteous?
No.
So there comes a point where God says, they've passed the point of no return. They cannot turn around anymore. Mm. And that will lead to the point of final destruction. There will be individuals amongst them that listen to the small, still voice and turn around and come out. That's why Jesus says, come out of her, my people. Mm-hmm. And no matter how bad your situation is, you can come out, but you must want to come out. So modern-day prophets would fail the test. James tells us in James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. That's quite something.
Yeah.
So you must keep the whole of the Bible because it's the law and the testimony. So when the law is not observed, then the gift of prophecy is withdrawn because that's the criterion.
Yes.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And if people have turned their back on the law of God, then they cannot speak in harmony with the law of God. So anybody that prophesies and says that the law is not binding must by definition already be a false prophet.
Correct.
So if somebody says God changed his mind and he changed the seventh day to the first day, can he be a true prophet?
No.
No, it's not in harmony with the law,
exactly.
With the Torah.
That's it.
It's not in harmony with the testimony.
It's not difficult to realize if you're not in harmony, sorry.
That's it. So immediately you know there's something here. All right. Now, again, it's very tricky. It's not quite so clear cut. Because does that mean that God never impresses anybody that is deceived and is doing the wrong things because he doesn't even know that it's wrong? Doesn't God want to save them too?
Exactly.
Okay. So to say that only those who have now discovered that the law is binding, only those are righteous and saved. Now, all of us are unrighteous.
Exactly.
It is grace that saves us, right?
Yes.
By faith. So the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's just like a parent. The wayward child. You don't say to the wayward child, oh, well, you're wayward. Away with you. Mm-hmm. No, that's the one that gets your most attention,
exactly.
Right? And God in his wisdom sometimes allows the wayward child to learn his lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say the child, let's be real gruesome now and say the child loves to play with fire. And you warn the child and the child keeps putting his finger near the fire. Eventually you discipline the child because you don't want him to be hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And he refuses to budge. Sometimes the parent, with limitations, will allow them to experience the consequences of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Correct.
And maybe that'll teach them a lesson. So the same way, God also works with people
exactly.
Today. So the second point is, a true prophet's predictions must come to pass.
Mm.
And even that's a tricky one.
Yes, because there's also sometimes conditions. And
correct. So if you take Jonah, for example, Jonah didn't want to prophesy because he was scared that his message wouldn't be accepted in the first place.
Yeah.
In the second place, the Ninevites were hated by Israel, and here he goes to warn the Ninevites. That is something that doesn't sit well with some people. And the worst of all for Jonah is, what if they repent?
Yeah.
Then
he's a false prophet.
Then he'll be a false prophet if God relents from what he has said. So Jeremiah 28 verse 9 says, the prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. Because it's very seldom that peace will actually be prophesied. Normally God sends a warning, right?
Yes.
Deuteronomy 18 verse 22 says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Presumption is Satan's counterfeit for faith.
Yes.
So we have to be very careful of the sin of presumption.
It's so close together, those two.
Yes, that's why Jesus had to face the sin of presumption in the conflict with the devil, right? In the wilderness. If you're the Son of God, then why are you so hungry? Turn these stones into bread. You can do it. That's the sin of presumption. A word of warning seems in order here. A prophet's predictions may come true, and he or she may even perform miracles to convince you of the genuine of the prophecy, yet it may be false. That's Jonah, for example. And a miracle to substantiate something could be a false miracle too. Mm. You have to be so careful.
Yeah.
When you go to a spiritist these days and a clairvoyant, and they tell you certain things that will happen in your life. Do some of them actually happen, for example?
Yes.
They could, right? Uh-huh. Oh, immediately, that is a very safe prophet, right? Aha, mm-hmm. But is that prophet living according to the law and to the testimony? Mm-hmm. That's the criterion then. Stay away, because they're definitely not living according to the law and the testimony. Deuteronomy 13, 1-4 says, if there arise amongst you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spoke unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet. So something can actually come true, what the prophet says. Mm-hmm. He gives you a sign and it happens.
And it happens, yeah.
And he says, God has told us that we must go and worship at the throne of Moloch. When the Torah warns that there's only one God and you may not worship other gods.
Yeah.
That prophet has spoken presumptuously, no matter how many of his signs and wonders
actually come true.
Or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So now the Bible also tells us God tempts nobody. So basically, he's saying that the Lord permits the enemy to tempt you. Did he permit the enemy to tempt Adam and Eve?
Yes.
Why would he do that?
Free will.
Free will, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not to create robots.
For the sake of fairness.
Yeah.
For the sake of fairness. In a court of law, there will be an advocate for and there will be an advocate against. Mm-hmm. Why? Because fairness. Mm-hmm. And then the facts must determine who is guilty and who is not guilty, right? Signs and wonders are not a test of genuineness. As in the above scriptural example, the prophet's words were not in harmony with the law of God. Satan will work miracles in the last days to deceive many, according to Revelation 16, verse 14. All right, so the third criterion. A true prophet prophesies to edify the church, counseling and advising in religious matters. A prophet comes from God's people. Mm. it is seldom that the prophet, like in the case of Jonah, is sent to a foreign nation. Yes. Then there's a very specific command.
Yes.
Go to Nineveh and tell them this, that, and the other. But a prophet normally is there to edify God's people. And therefore, many of the things will not be understood because not everybody is in harmony with God's word, right? Yes.
And also, most of the time, the prophet is there to bring the church back in harmony with God.
Correct. And why does he raise up prophets? For very specific events that are going to take place, and to bring God's people back from the false road on which they have traveled. 1 Corinthians 14:3-4. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that prophesieth edifieth the church, God's people.
And that church will also be keeping the law and the testimony.
It must keep the law and the testimony.
It will bring them, that prophet will bring them back the whole time to that.
So if you go to the final church in Revelation 12, verse 17, what does it say there? The remnant that
keeps the commandments of God and has the testimony of Jesus.
Exactly. So the criteria are the same today.
That is the church that we're speaking
of. And that's the New Testament speaking. Yeah. So the fourth criterion is a true prophet shall exalt Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. Where did Moses exalt Christ?
Well, in the ceremonial laws.
Yes.
And then he also said a prophet will arise after me that you will
exalt. Him you will hear. Yeah, him you will hear. One like me.
One
right?
Like me.
So he was a type of Christ and he said, that one will come, and he gave the entire sacrificial system pointing to Christ. So he will exalt Christ. 1 John 4:12-15, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So, what did Jesus say to Peter when all the disciples left? He said to the disciples, do you also want to go?
And he said,
and Peter said,
where can we go? You've got the truth.
You have the words of eternal life. There's nowhere else to go. And he also said, you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God. So when Jesus, after his resurrection, expounded the scriptures to his disciples, he revealed to them the prophetic proclamation regarding himself. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And what did they say, those two? Did not this word burn in our hearts, right? They've never seen it. Well, I never understood this typology. I never read this before.
Exactly. It comes back to what you said earlier. You cannot throw away the Old Testament because Jesus used the Old Testament to show that it pointed to him.
Exactly. So it makes absolutely no sense to discard the Old Testament. So a test for a true prophet, again, a word of warning regarding this test. Many false prophets will say to Jesus in the last judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So again, you can exalt Jesus and not be in harmony with the Torah.
Exactly.
So
that's the scary part.
That's the scary part. So today you have people that exalt Jesus and they negate the law. And then you have people today who exalt the law and negate Jesus. Both are in trouble.
Both
are in trouble. That's a very important criterion. There's a fifth criterion. A true prophet will speak with authority. Even King said, I don't want to hear him. There's one here that is the prophet of God, but I hate him.
Yeah,
he never says anything good.
Yes, we can either listen to the other 400 or so.
Listen to the other 400. Yeah, bring the prophets of Baal. At least, you know, their voice is music to my ears. But the true prophet spoke with authority. He would say to a king, you are living in transgression of God's law. Did John do that?
John?
John the Baptist. Yeah.
Yes.
What did he say to Herod? You're living unlawfully with your wife. Oh, man, it cost him his head, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he spoke that, like that to the Pharisees as well. And
you brood of vipers. He had authority.
Yeah.
Matthew 7, verse 29, and he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And the people wondered at the beauty that Jesus brought out of the Bible, right? And it was all the Old Testament, as you said. So number six, the true prophet will bear good fruit. You can't be a prophet of God and not live in harmony with God's word. That doesn't mean that the prophet doesn't have faults.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that a prophet can't fall. That doesn't mean that a prophet cannot despair. But there must be fruits in that prophet's life which show you that he believes the word and wants to live in harmony with it. So Matthew 7 verse 20 says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Those are six criteria. Now, the seventh one gets interesting. The true prophet, when in vision, will exhibit physical signs. Now, this is very important. When in vision. Now, a prophet can dream dreams.
Mm-hmm.
A prophet can have an opinion based on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But when the prophet is in vision, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be certain criteria. And here again, we have to be very careful. So in vision, the prophet's eyes will be open. Numbers 24, verse 4. Now, all the verses that we have here are from the King James Bible. And when we take the modern Bibles, we have to be very, very careful. Now, the modern Bibles, as we've discussed many times, are dynamic equivalent Bibles.
Mm.
And I always say they might be very dynamic, but they're often very far from equivalent. What does dynamic equivalent mean? It means it is an interpretation of what God said.
Mm.
Now, who's the interpreter?
Man.
Whoever is writing those words, right? So let's say the theologians are the determiners of what God said.
Mm.
Then it is not directly what God said, but it is an interpretation, an explanation, according to the mind of the person doing it, as to what God said.
Mm-hmm.
That's dynamic equivalent. Good. Now, when I tell you a story, and you tell the story in your own words to someone else, and that person tells it to someone else, and that person tells it to someone else, eventually, 10 down the line, 20 down the line, you compare the first story to the last story, what do you get?
Two different stories.
Absolutely chaos, right? Now, this is the danger. I would always like to know, what did God say? And not what did the translator think God says. So I like a direct translation. What did God say? And the King James is a direct translation. The old Bibles that are based on the received text,
mm-hmm.
they are normally direct translations.
Yeah, because if you get a direct translation from the other manuscripts, it can be the best direct translation, but the source is not.
Yes, so the source is important. And you have to ask yourself, where did the source come from? Mm-hmm. Was it a clean spring or was it a polluted system? So all of these things are very important. So let's read what a direct translation says. He has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, another into a vision, mm-hmm. but having his eyes open. That's direct. Mm. So two pointers are here of significance. Firstly, the prophet falls to the ground. He's falling. And secondly, his or her eyes are wide open. The King James Version renders the translation from the original text very precisely, and for this reason it is quoted above. The modern Bible translations do not bring these points to light clearly. The NIV, for example, translates the text as follows. Numbers 24:4, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees the vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate, and whose eyes are opened. Mm. Now, this could be in a spiritual context.
Yes.
Right? So, now I understand.
Exactly.
But that's not what it said. That's an interpretation based on the Word of God. But the Word of God says his eyes are open when he falls down. So, the issue of the wide open eyes is lost and can be interpreted in a spiritual rather than in a literal sense. So let's take a look at Daniel, for example. The physical state of the prophet while in vision is carefully described in the Bible. Why would God do that?
To make sure that you don't get deceived if he's true or not.
Okay. Daniel 10:7-9, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. So he was chosen as the prophet, right? But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned unto me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face to the ground. Mm. So what are the criteria? He had no strength, and he must have fallen to the ground as he lay with his face on the ground, right?
Yep.
The prophet does not, however, remain in this helpless state on the ground, but he is lifted up by God, and while still in vision, stands up on his feet. Daniel 10:10-11, and behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, O man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So he's getting up, right? So in vision, secondly, a prophet will have no breath in him and no strength of his own. Mm. Daniel 10:16-17, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And I opened my mouth and spake. So he's speaking.
Yeah.
And I said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. There's no breath.
Yeah.
He's not breathing. He's in a state of life maintained by God without breath. Mm. So note that Daniel has no strength because of his vision. He's touched by God, speaks, although there is no breath in him. And again, the new translations obscure these vital texts by means of interpretive rather than literal translation. Let's see what the NIV does. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that.
No.
That's an interpretation.
No breath in me.
There's no breath. Not I can hardly breathe. So, tests for a true prophet. No mention is made of the restoration of breathing while in vision. The prophecy is sustained by God whilst in vision, and in summary we can say he falls down weak, right?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, he is raised up and strengthened by God. Now, when God strengthens you, how strong do you become? Unlimited.
Unhumanly.
Okay. Could you go and walk to a concrete pillars of a gate of a building, pick up the iron bars and rip the concrete out of the ground
and with the whole gate?
With the whole gate, carry it up onto a mountain and plonk it down. Could
yes.
you do that?
Mm-hmm.
He has his eyes wide open during the vision and he does not breathe even though he speaks. That cannot be counterfeited without you being dead, right?
Exactly.
Okay. These are signs which cannot be counterfeited. In fact, modern so-called visionaries tend to fall down with their eyes closed and they have breath in them because only God can sustain life without breath. Simple.
Yeah.
Now, God doesn't always give a vision. He can give a dream.
Yes.
So,
but then you're asleep.
Then you're asleep.
You're not going to stand in front of a crowd giving a prophecy from God if it's not done in this way, or you're sleeping.
And those that witness it are overawed.
Mm.
So now let's have a look at false prophets. So we have 7 criteria, right? Mm. Physical manifestations and all the others. Jeremiah 23:25-28. I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophets that hath a dream, let him tell the dream, and he that has my word, let him speak my words faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? So there will be dreamers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 30-32 says, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. So they're talking to each other, and there can be many that agree with the issue. So when the king of old wanted to know, shall I go up and take this other nation on?
Yeah.
Then the prophets came and danced and said, you will be victorious. Mm-hmm. You will.
And there was a few of them.
Yeah, and the king of Judah was sitting there with the king of Israel. And he said, excuse me, isn't there a prophet of the Lord somewhere?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is one, but I hate him. Now, let him come. No, he's not going to sing in harmony with these.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophets. I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he has said. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Now again, let's be kind.
Mm-hmm.
These false prophets, were they utterly convinced that they were on the right track?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they thought they were doing the right thing.
They would even go to the true prophet and give him a smack.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in one occasion, a prophet arose with a yoke around him because God had said, put this yoke on you, and a false prophet came and broke the yoke. And God said to the true prophet, go and make yourself a yoke of iron that they cannot break.
Break it.
Deuteronomy 18:20-22, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. If thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. We'd looked at this verse before.
Yes. Just want to say, that one, even that prophet shall die. That's a serious proclamation.
Absolutely.
So maybe that's a slight warning to prophets out there.
Yes.
Are you prepared to die for what you say if it does not come true?
And God wants all of these people to be saved because he doesn't want that anyone should be lost, but rather that they repent and come back into harmony with God's word. But it is a very serious thing to even lead one of these my little ones in the wrong direction, because the blood will be on your head. We have to be very careful before we say we are prophets.
Yeah,
very, very, very.
God showed me.
Yes.
To tell you.
Then there's another point. To prophesy doesn't necessarily mean that you have received visions. Mm. That also can mean just to be a preacher.
Yes.
And even that is a dangerous job. Mm-hmm. Because if you are a preacher and you are not speaking in harmony with God's word and leading people astray, then the same condemnation comes upon your head.
Yeah.
So we should be very, very circumspect.
Maybe it's just a wake-up call to all of us.
Yes.
Don't take everything lightly that has to do with God's word and that you speak to anybody
else. Be very careful before you accept something.
You're playing with somebody's life.
1 John 4 verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. It's pretty obvious that most of what you will hear in the world is not true.
No.
It'll be a minority. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11.
What you just said, the truth is not popular.
No, it's not going to be popular. So now we're going to look at a number of prophecies in the world today, and we will apply the criteria. Correct?
Correct.
And then this is not an attack on anyone. This is an attempt to make people aware that we cannot just run with every prophecy that is being predicted out there in the world. Mm-hmm. We have to be very, very careful to the law and to the testimony. Okay, here is a compilation of a number of prophecies in our modern time. Some of them were from Sid Roth's It's Supernatural, and there are other channels where certain prophets are going to speak. And we will have a look at them and see how they fit with the criteria that we've just discussed.
But I'll tell you here, it's not just going to be this administration. It's not just going to be the next 4 years or 8 years. I saw 20 years, Sid, clearly. I saw 20 years, and I believe it's even further, because the Lord spoke to me and I saw in an encounter, he said, Jeff, when the last trump sounds. And I said, what do you mean the last trump sounds? He said, at the last trump, it will sound. Well, the last trump. And I said, Lord, what do you mean the last trump? It was a play on words, Barron Trump.
The Associated Press said that Joe Biden is president. Ha! 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 Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be president. Mickey Mouse is going to be king. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
First of all, I want to say without question, Trump is going to win the election. That doesn't mean you sit home and don't vote. That means you get out and do everything you can to work. But he's going to win. That's, I think, a given.
Because I am speaking from the future.
Yes, you are.
This moment.
Right this moment.
And I am going to proclaim that President Trump will be president of the United States.
Hallelujah. In
Jesus' name.
Will it be an 8-year presidency?
Absolutely. Absolutely, we will.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
There's going to be a backlash, and we're saying that. A populist backlash merging with an awakening, a spiritual awakening. The two are going to fuse together, and you're going to see some 45 or 50 million people coming to Christ. That's one half of the people that voted for Donald Trump that are devastated by what's happening. We have faith. At least half of the voters are Christian. The other half are low-hanging fruit, and it's going to converge together to create a sweeping reset. And we're coming into the absolute revival battle of our lifetime right on the horizon.
We are in a time right now where God is saying, I've had enough. And that is why it is so important, Christian, to not be fighting with one another, fighting against the prophets. Listen, it's very evident, and I want to follow up with something that Mike Lindell said regarding President Trump. He made it very clear in his speech. He's not going anywhere. And when you saw the video clip, those of you that are watching tonight of Biden, it's very evident. We're not here to, you know, call out what he's obviously having to deal with. But as far as in a sickness or whatever's going on with him. But I can tell you this, you don't see or feel the anointing of the Spirit of God upon him because he's not been chosen and elected of God. Therefore, when you listen to Donald Trump, and I did, and I heard his speech, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is not lifted off of that man. And so we are in a reversal. We are in a reset. We are in the greatest days where God is saying this nation will not be a socialistic or communist nation. Watch and see, taste and see. The Lord is good, and you're about to celebrate and rejoice in these coming months and years of what God has planned. And I'm excited as it unfolds. Yeah. What can and is God going to do in one day or suddenly? And that's what you got to focus on. This is not over. God is going to continue to interject himself. And what you need to do, like Lance and the different ones are saying here on this panel, is engage yourself. God is raising up people who are dissatisfied. There has to come a point where the flesh is between your teeth, like the children of Israel who wanted quail. And you say, you know what? We've had enough. Watch what God's about to do. Things are going to shift. The winds are revealing it. The ground is shaking it. And the volcanoes are erupting. But here's what God's doing. He's injecting himself. And you're going to see the amazing Lord rescue a nation, rescue a people. I've seen the future. And it wasn't, and it didn't look like this. There's a new America on the rise.
Well, Martin, what is your summary of what we have just heard?
Well, you get a lot of them that did say Trump was going to win the election. And then now some of them says, yeah, but he did win, but now he's not
in power.
In power. And then there's a lot of them that say he will come back now. He's going to have the presidency again. I don't know. This just sounds to me, if we compare it to what we've studied just now.
Now,
it's evident.
Are there many people that have become despondent now because what the prophet said didn't come to pass?
Yes.
And do you think there will be many that will say, well, therefore God cannot be trusted and they just leave religion behind?
Yeah.
All right. So that's a real danger, right?
The problem is, like we saw in the previous that the discredited people are being discredited for believing in the Bible. Now you've got people that believe in the prophecies of the Bible, and things like this discredit the Bible.
Now, some of them were saying he's definitely going to win and he's going to have an 8-year term. Mm-hmm. Now, some of them will say, well, he'll win the next one, then he'll also have had an 8-year term. But it won't be this one. And some of them are saying, well, we got it wrong, and some of them are just modifying what they have been saying. To the law and to the testimony. And they see, for example, the anointing on one of the candidates and not on the other one. How do you see that anointing? How do you determine whether there is an anointing? To the law and to the testimony. Do any of them either Trump or Biden, did any of them at any stage speak according to the law and to the testimony? No. Neither of them.
Neither of them. There might be little glimpses of them speaking, like, for instance, talking about Jesus and giving them.
Is going to a church a criterion, or going to a mass? Is that a criterion? If everything else that you are saying is not in harmony with the law of God, etc., then you have a problem, right? So off the bat, we can say none of them have spoken according to the law and the prophets. Well, Kenneth Copeland went so far as to say to believe that Biden is going to win is like Mickey Mouse will become king, right?
Yeah.
And he punctuated it with holy laughter. So obviously that's a manifestation, so it must come true. Did it come true?
No.
No. He's the most obvious of the false prophets. Now here's an interesting one. This is Chris Yoon, and he has some interesting things to say. Let's have a look.
The Lord has anointed and has appointed Trump to be a president a second term. It's not 2024. It's right now in the next couple of weeks. And I've given a lot of prophetic word and a lot of dreams and a lot of different things throughout the last couple of months. And it's all leading up to what's coming up in January 20th. And so I've said this many times before, but please reserve throwing your stones at me until January 20th, because everyone is, again, speaking too quickly. They're taking news just like a few days after November 3rd when a media declared Biden the winner. You threw some stones. Again, the election certification, you threw some stones. But I've been saying wait till January 20th before you say anything, because right now, more than ever, the Lord has made it so clear to me what is about to come to pass. And everything I've been saying has so far come to pass. And the grand finale is yet to come.
But the question really in the past week or two, obviously, is how are we rectifying and remedying what is going on? Are the prophets wrong? Is Trump still at play? Like, did something go wrong? Did God change his mind? And there's a lot of different questions that are being thrown out. And I really believe that the Lord has given this opportunity for us to remove ourselves from everything that we've actually had a tie to, a hope to. And this is targeting all groups of people, right? There are so many of us that have relied so much on the prophetic word, which is good in that the Bible says you want to weigh and carefully discern, but so many of us have idolized it. We've just been so fixated on it. But the word still stands, and I believe that the president, Trump, he will still be restored back to the office in some form, or not some form, clearly as president at some point soon, not in 2024. I believe it's going to happen soon. As well as some kind of intervention, and I'm not saying military in the sense that there's going to be some, warfare takeover, but there, whether it's some cyber warfare or whether it's some information, thing or whatever it is that their involvement is, that's very secretive. That a lot of people argue that people don't know what's really going on there.
Now this one is very specific and very interesting, so. There were a number of dates there with very specific predictions which did not come to pass.
Yeah.
Then there was a modification of the prediction. And then there was another modification of the prediction. So clearly, this is not true prophecy, right?
There was even a part where he said, we may be relying too much on the prophetic word.
Yes. But what is that prophetic word? Is it the that which is in harmony with the Bible, exactly, or something that they assume came directly from God, if they had a dream or a vision. Now, you know, it makes it very complicated, because at some stage there might actually be an interesting twist, and some things might actually happen. And some people haven't given up on the idea that there will be a turnaround. I mean, there are so many Q prophecies, for example, that all of this is just a preparation for the grand and glorious time that is coming upon America, when the swamp will finally be drained and all those that have lived in disharmony with the right principles will be put in jail or even executed. I mean, that's what the prophecies say, right? And they're saying that military tribunals are busy with this and there will be great changes in the United States. Be that as it may, some of it might come to pass, some of it may not come to pass, but here's my question. What does the Bible predict for the United States? Does the Bible predict that the world will turn into this glorious place where you will have this millennium of great peace and beauty? Or does it say that there will be a great apostasy and that that will be followed by a national ruin?
Yes, that's what it says.
That's what the book of Revelation chapter 13 clearly tells us, right?
Yep.
And that there is a deception. So again, it's not in harmony with the testimony. The testimony, the book of Revelation is part of the testimony.
If by some wondrous event Trump gets back into office or so on, it will, according to what the Bible says will happen, then it might be a temporary thing. It will not.
Then it will be a deception within a deception.
Deception. You must test this to the Law and the Prophets.
Yes.
What did the Bible say? What's going to happen?
The Bible clearly tells us that the road is a downward spiral.
Yeah.
It is not a glorious revival. It might seem to be a glorious revival because when they say peace, peace, what comes?
Peace and safety, sudden destruction.
Sudden destruction. So whatever they are saying, whether parts of it come true or not, the final analysis, it's not in harmony with God's word.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've covered most of the bases there now. Now, Martin, in our next little video clip, we have Sid Roth. And he has some other speakers as well, right? And they are very much into prophecy. Now, this is not a personal attack. This is just looking at the facts as they are before us. Now, he realized that his prophecy was incorrect. And he apologized for that, which is nice. But he immediately follows it up with a new prophecy. And then there's another speaker who comes with an affirmation, again, predicting this glorious future, which already is not in harmony with what the Bible has to say on the issue. So let's just have a look at what he has to say.
But I want to sincerely ask, it's my pastor's heart that's really the strong thing promoting this. I want to sincerely ask for forgiveness for saying Trump would serve another term. And I do take full responsibility for what I said. I'm especially sorry for people whose faith really was shaken. Now, you know this, I'm sure, if you're on social media, that many of my friends that I endorse as prophets have gone on social media, and they believe that it's not over. And I have to tell you, I pray in Yeshua's name that they're right. I know that, and this is what I call it, you just got to bear with me because God put it in my spirit and I'm supposed to say it publicly, so I'm releasing it publicly. I know that the golden global glory, I like saying it that way. Try and say it, it's a tongue twister in a way. Golden global glory is coming this year. It will be a game changer. Prophecy under the glory, like this generation has never seen before. Casting demons out, I see auditoriums so filled with the glory of God that the people will walk into the auditoriums filled with demons and will walk out with spirits of infirmity having gone, with spirits that have been harassing them the whole life, because the golden global glory will just swoop in
I'm speaking to people whose bodies are holding them back. I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. I speak to every kind of disease, and I drive it out, especially in the kidneys and liver. Lord God, just cleanse those livers and cleanse those kidneys right now in the name of Jesus. And all you people that have back pain, I know that it's hard, but the Lord wants to heal you right now. There's going to be a heat going up and down your spine because the Lord is healing you right now. You see, the Lord is bringing justice on your behalf right now. I'm addressing every evil spirit that is hindering any kind of prosperity right now in the name of Jesus. I break every evil spirit that has built walls up to stop the money from coming in. The money shall flow. The Lord is saying, it is not me that's holding it back from you. It is broken now in the name of Jesus. I am telling you by the Spirit of God, prosperity is flowing to you. You need to just raise your hands right now and worship God. Thank you, Father, for the release of finances. Thank you, Father.
Whoa. Now, if you look at Sid, then you can feel some empathy for the man. But immediately, he again prophesies this golden age. And we know that there will be no golden age. It is not biblical. You just have to read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation does predict that there will be these signs and wonders that will take place. But then it adds the word by which the inhabitants will be deceived.
Yes.
So the signs and wonders are something that we have to watch out for. And Martin, when he says people will be marching into a stadium, all deceived, full of diseases, plagued by demons, and march out the other side of the stadium, perfectly in harmony and under the glory of God. Is that biblical?
No.
No. The Bible says you must repent.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you must turn around.
Yep.
You must have a 180 degree turn. You must walk in the other direction. Such were some of you, says Paul. And then he lists all the criteria that we all qualified for. And our fallen nature sometimes is drawn towards. It's a constant battle. And if you don't live in harmony with God's word, then the promises cannot apply.
Yes.
Because all the promises in the Bible are conditional.
Condition, yeah.
If, then,
mm-hmm.
if you will hearken unto my word, if only you had listened to my commandments, then. Mm. There's always that if. I hear no if. Do you hear if?
No.
You're going to be healed. Your kidneys are going to be cleansed.
Yeah.
Did God give his people a health message?
Yes.
What does he say about the glutton and the wine bibber? Mm-hmm. Do they qualify for this kind of healing? No, there must be a change.
Yeah.
You must come back into harmony with God's word. That is true biblical
healing.
Faith.
And healing.
And healing. So off the bat, just looking at them, you would have to say that what we have heard is not in harmony with the law, neither is it in harmony with the testimony.
Correct.
All right, here's an article in the Christianity Today magazine, and it's from January 20th. Failed Trump prophecies offer a lesson in humility. The failed prophecies of Donald Trump's re-election may have damaged the credibility of the U.S. independent, charismatic wing of evangelicalism, more than any event since the televangelist scandal of the 1980s. Now, let's just stop there. There's an acknowledgement there that there have been previous scandals,
mm-hmm.
and it is largely the charismatic wing which is implicated. Now, you come from that background.
Mm-hmm.
The charismatic wing, what does it say about the law? It's gone.
It's gone.
And the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, they have no light in them. Immediately off the bat, you have a problem, right? As we approach the inauguration of President Joe Biden, some who prophesied Trump's re-election remain adamant that they were correct. Perhaps the election was stolen or will be overturned, or in some mystical realm, Trump is still actually spiritually president. Some just change the subject. Unfortunately, their hardcore followers may settle for that. Others acknowledge that prophecy must be tested. By affirming Biden's win, now tacitly concede that they were wrong. Elijah prophesied the obliteration of Ahab's dynasty, but God told him afterwards that because of Ahab's repentance, the judgment would be delayed. My theologian friends hold a range of views on how to explain this. My personal understanding is that though God foreknows the outcomes, he often speaks to us just what we need for the moment. We need to be ready to change the course as needed. All right, so this writer, Crave Keener, is relying here on the conditional aspect of prophecy. Now, we must be careful here, because when you look at the conditional aspect of prophecy, then it was always coupled to obedience. If you will make right,
yes,
then Nineveh is a good example. If you look at the political scene today, is there any condition that has been met? Has the United States, since the inauguration of the new president, turned around to walk the path of absolute righteousness?
No.
Absolutely not. No conditions have been met that are in harmony with God's word. So basically off the bat, we can say that all of this was basically not in harmony with God's word. Now, our last video is interesting because this is Donald Trump himself speaking.
Yes.
And his speech has so many elements that people can hang their hopes on.
Correct.
And this is what's keeping it alive. And I'm wondering, is this a game? Mm-hmm. Is this a Hegelian dialectic? Is this something to introduce a state of mind? Or is there really something behind it? Will there be a twist in the tale? I don't know.
No.
I'm not a prophet.
No.
But I do have prophecy at my disposal. And I do understand from the Word of God and from the book of Revelation where this is going to head. We're going to have a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be between the authority of God and the authority of man. And there will have to be a choice. And before that, people will say, when you make this choice, when you accept the mark of the beast, great peace and prosperity will come, yeah, but then sudden destruction will follow. Mm-hmm. The greatest warning is given in Revelation chapter 14 when it comes to accepting the mark of the beast. And that warning is not a warning of peace and safety.
No.
It is a warning of final destruction. So no matter what these people say, none of them are speaking in harmony with God's word.
Yes.
Let's listen to that speech.
We gather this week, we're in the middle of a historic struggle for America's future, America's culture, and America's institutions, borders, and most cherished principles. Our security, our prosperity, and our very identity as Americans is at stake, like perhaps at no other time. So no matter how much the Washington establishment and the powerful special interests may want to silence us, let there be no doubt, we will be victorious and America will be stronger and greater than ever before. I also want to pay my love and respect to the great Rush Limbaugh, who is watching closely and smiling down on us. He's watching and he's loving it, and he loves Catherine. Catherine, thank you for being here. So great. Thank you, Catherine. He loved you, Catherine. I will tell you that. And I want you to know that I'm going to continue to fight right by your side. We will do what we've done right from the beginning, which is to win. We're not starting new parties. You know, they kept saying, he's going to start a brand new party. We have the Republican Party. It's going to unite and be stronger than ever before. I am not starting a new party. That was fake news. This alone should be reason enough for Democrats to suffer withering losses in the midterms and to lose the White House decisively 4 years from now. I may even decide to beat them for a third time, okay? With your help, we will take back the House, we will win the Senate, and then a Republican president will make a triumphant return to the White House. And I wonder who that will be. Who will that be? I wonder. Standing before you today, I am supremely confident that for our movement, for our party, and for our country, our brightest days are just ahead. And that together we will make America prouder, freer, stronger, and greater than it ever has been before. Thank you, CPAC. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you all. Thank you.
Now, Martin, that was a rousing speech, right? Mm-hmm. And it got the people to their feet, and they were clapping.
Yep.
And he might even beat them for the third time. So he's hinting at the midterm elections, mm-hmm. and the next elections, and wonderful things to happen, and this great prosperity.
Yeah, it's this golden age.
Okay. To the law, mm-hmm. and to the testimony. Now, he didn't claim to be a prophet here.
No.
But the prophets are latching on to what he is saying and prophesying on his behalf. Mm-hmm. Now, did he not refer to someone who had died?
Yes, Rush Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh. Mm. And he's watching right now. Mm. Is that according to the law and the testimony?
Nope.
No, because the dead know?
Nothing.
Nothing. They have no part in anything that goes on under the sun. So there is falsehood intermingled with this glorious speech of hope. And people are roused and believe that things will change. And the QAnon conspiracy theory is kept alive in a sense.
Yes. Even the New Age philosophy is kept alive with a golden age of prosperity.
Golden age. Now, none of that is in harmony with the scripture. So our appeal to everyone is to make the Word of God your guide and to use the Word of God to be your cleaver as to what fits the prophetic scenario and what does not. And if we do that, then we will not be deceived by every wind of doctrine, every sign and wonder that takes place out there, every word that is prophesied with so much pomp and glamour and holy laughter and whatever signs there are.
I just want to also put in that one prophet didn't show on the video, but he uses the volcanoes and the eruptions and the earthquakes and all of these as in prophesying that these signs are helping to edify what he's saying.
Correct. And now, Martin, just one last point. In the scientific world, there are many prophets as well.
Mm-hmm.
And these prophets are not now prophesying in terms of religious matters, but in terms of environmental issues,
yes.
right? And some are saying we have X number of months. Mm-hmm. Some of them are so accurate that they'll tell you how many days we have left before this planet is finished.
Yes.
And some of these prophecies have, of course, failed in the past. Do we apply some of those criteria as well? Well, we should look at that. Maybe we must do another one on the environmental profits and see what is happening on that score.
Definitely.
Because the world is going absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
And laws are being enacted.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is that the laws that are being enacted, no matter on the basis of whatever philosophy, the laws are in harmony with what the Bible predicts will happen.
Correct.
Laws of buying and selling, laws of freedom, laws of access, all of those are being mentioned in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
and it's happening. So whether you're looking at the religious field, whether you're looking at the scientific field, and both of them are glorified to the X amount. Today, if you speak against science, you are an ignoramus.
Yeah,
in fact, you are a conspiracist.
Well, in amid evil terms, you are a heretic.
Correct. So these are very important times that we are living in. And may God give us wisdom, and may God give us discernment, and may God give us the willingness to test everything out there by the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there is so much deception in the world, and even the deceivers and the deceived do not know that they are on a road that leads to a conflict with the very prophecies that tell us what will happen in the world and in our future. Give us wisdom, Lord, to study your word and to make the word the criterion and nothing else, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for watching this video. To subscribe, click here. When the bell appears, click again to get notifications. To watch the next video, click here. Thank you.